If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
All right, I have to ask, because I know you worked with Diddy.
Diddy.
Before the Cassie tape came out,
I didn't know if to believe it or not.
You did.
I was one of those people like that.
You had never seen that side
of him. No. I liked being the gatekeeper. I liked knowing the secrets and keeping the secrets. You know, now I'm on the opposite side of that coin. I'm somebody that tells the secrets. But I got a tip today that Kris Jenner is looking to buy E.
Let's talk about Jennifer Aniston for a second. I went to college with the guy that she's dating. Yes.
Did you kiss him? Donald Trump sued me once, like when he was a celebrity. Hulk Hogan just passed, and Nobody's remembering that he used the N-word. I'm
really so
obsessed with Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. Almost reminds me of the first season of a really good Bravo show before they get twisted.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Well, I just landed in New York City to knock out three huge interviews back to back. And today you're getting the first one. And wow, are we starting strong. Joining me is none other than Rob Shooter, the naughty but nice host, legendary gossip columnist and celebrity publicist who's worked with Diddy, J-Lo, Jessica Simpson, and so many more. Rob isn't just somebody who reports on Hollywood. He's been deep inside it. His sources are real. His tea is boiling and his credibility untouchable. So buckle up because this episode is everything. Pardons, affairs, family feuds. Oh my, we're driving into the wildest headlines blowing up your feed right now. Could Donald Trump actually pardon Diddy and Ghislaine Maxwell? The latest on the lawsuit with Brigitte Macron going against Candace Owens, who's been calling her a man. Are Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau more than just friends? The guy that Jennifer Aniston is seeing is someone I went to college with. We get into all the details. And what is really going on inside Hulk Hogan's messy family feud over his will? Rob was there for the rise of Diddy. He sat in the rooms where these headlines were born. And today he's spilling everything, unfiltered, unapologetic, and he's definitely being naughty and nice. You are not going to want to miss this episode. Let's get right into it with my friend, Rob Shooter.
I'm
I am so happy that you are here. You are an old, old friend of mine. I was trying to remember how we actually met. And was it because you were trying to get some dirt on me?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure that's how, when I look through my address book, most of the people I've met, it started out a little rocky. Like, right. I'm in the gossip business.
Yeah.
And so I want information. Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be mean or nasty, but I want information. But you popped up on my radar. And I think I pursued you, and I probably was very annoyed, but you were just charming and you were kind to me. We ultimately became friends.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, listen, for so long I had people like from TMZ and Daily Mail and whatever being really aggressive and really mean. And then, of course, the public was really mean and the words around how they shaped me were mean. And I remember thinking, you know, you and another one who a lot of people don't like, but Dylan Howard was very good to me, even though a lot of stuff in the papers were not so good. He, as a human, was very good to me. And we became very close
friends.
That's
the key to it. It doesn't matter whatever you do for a living, people watching this, listening to this. It doesn't matter what you do, but do it with a little bit of kindness. And I say that not because I'm a particularly kind person. Yeah. I'm a smart person.
Right.
To be kind is a good thing to do, but it's also the smart thing to do. I've learned throughout my life that my biggest opportunities, my biggest moments have come, not when I'm being mean, but when I'm being kind. Plus, before I did this, I was a celebrity publicist. Right. And that really helped me understand what it's like to be in the middle of a hurricane, which you were in.
Yeah.
When I worked with Jessica Simpson or Jennifer Lopez or even Diddy, I knew what it was like to be around somebody where the world just descend upon you. And it doesn't matter if you're a regular person or if you're a movie star, to suddenly be in that hurricane is very, very difficult. So I'm really grateful that I learned it. I learned it from being around some really difficult divorces, breakups, situations. So I think that was part of the advantage that I had.
Right. And also seeing that these people are real people and have heartache like everybody else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's devastating what happens. You know, that 15 minutes of fame or those years of fame is not all people think it's made up to be.
Yeah, that's a lie, isn't it? It's never 15 minutes.
No.
It might be 15 minutes in the red hot center of the drama, but it always is on your resume.
Yeah.
It's always part of your life. You know, when you think about people like Monica Lewinsky, it never went away. That heat went away, but it never really went away.
No.
Reality stars like Kate Gosselin, who were, you know, I think has been on the cover of People magazine consecutively more than any other star, more than Julia Roberts.
Right.
She's still like, she's not quite in the spotlight anymore, but it's always part of her resume.
Right.
So I tell people all the time, I'm no longer a publicist, but I tell friends of mine, you got to make peace with this because it doesn't go away. It changes.
Right.
It gets a little bit softer. It gets a little bit easier.
Right.
But it's always on your resume. It's always on your bio.
On your bio and on your tombstone.
That's right.
Unfortunately. All right. I want to get back to the beginning, though. I want to know how you got into this. You're not from the United States.
No, no.
Obviously, as you can hear from your accent. So where were you born and did you want to be in gossip?
I was born in Birmingham, England, which is like a rough town. I pretend it's Chicago. It's more Detroit.
Okay.
Like it's the second city. So London's the big city. The second city, the biggest city after London is Birmingham. It's in the heart of the country. Ozzy Osbourne was from Birmingham. And so sort of a city down on its luck, an industrial town where the industry had left. Think of Detroit.
Yeah.
It's a town that just needed a little bit of love, a little bit of polish. It was a rough diamond. And so I grew up in Birmingham, England. And I'm not very good at many things, but at school, I knew everybody's secrets. I knew, like, on the playground, it was like Dangerous Liaison.
Because they knew they could trust you?
Yeah, I don't know why they would think that. And even to this day, I'm not sure why anybody would. I think it's because I had a lot of secrets myself. I was in the closet. I was a young gay kid in a town where being gay was not a good thing. I'm not even sure it is today. And so I have a damaged arm. I have one arm that's smaller than the other. So I had a lot of issues as a young kid. A lot of secrets, a lot of things that made me feel really different. And it taught me some empathy.
Yeah.
It taught me how to listen. I love to talk, but I love to listen too. And I'm just by nature, I'm a very I'll say curious. Uh-huh. The cruel world is nosy, but right. I'm a very nosy person. I like people's stories.
Right.
You do too. That's why you're so good at this.
I love
it. Is that this is storytelling. You know, I'm not in the gossip business. I'm in the friendship business. People come to me because they're a bit lonely. People come to me because they just want to chat. You know, I'm that piano player like Billy Joel in the bar at 2 a.m. and people just want someone to talk to.
Right.
And Diane Sawyer said to me once when I couldn't understand why anybody in a disaster would want to talk to somebody on television.
Right.
I think there was an incident where some children fell down a well and Diane got this interview and I asked Diane, why would the parents go on national TV and talk about this? And she said, everyone has a story. Mm-hmm. Shut up and listen to it. Great advice.
So what made you come to the United States?
I fell in love. So I met this really cute American.
Okay.
And he's great. We're still together. 30 years we've been together.
Wow. I was going to ask
30
you.
30 years. Okay. He's a really great guy. So I met a cute American and it was easier for me to
and
get.
And he lived here?
He lives here, New Yorker. He was working in Britain.
Okay.
And I was at the University of Edinburgh, thank you very much, where I failed Oxford and Cambridge. That's the third choice. I know everybody's awful. Okay. We sat around like the union, like, did you fail Oxford and Cambridge too? And we were like, yes. So I went to Edinburgh and Bruce was working in Edinburgh. So I met him in Edinburgh 30 years ago. And then I came here for like a summer of fun and romance and kisses and just like a great summer. I thought it'd be lovely to come to America. And right. I thought it was going to be like Dallas or Dynasty or I thought it was going to be so glamorous. And I came to New York, which is like, and so I came to New York, fell in love with New York, but more importantly, fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. And we've been together ever since.
Amazing. And then what was your first job in gossip?
So my first job when I got here is I didn't have paperwork. So I worked in a video store. But it was an old-fashioned video store. They only did black and white movies. So they didn't have any X-rated movies. It wasn't like the video.
Video store, not like Blockbuster.
No. It's like, okay. It's called Mrs. Hudson's.
Okay.
And it was this old school video store on Hudson Street in the village. And all she rented were like old Betty Davis movies and Marilyn Monroe.
Did anyone come in?
No. And that's why it went out of business. And so nobody was in there. And I just sat there all day and watched movies.
Okay.
And I loved it. That was the best job I ever had. And then I got a job in a PR office through a friend of a friend. I was never privileged enough and lucky enough to be able to pick my job.
Okay.
I wasn't one of those kids that could think about what would I like to do for a living. I needed to make money.
Right.
And so I had to say yes to whatever opportunity came along. And so this very fancy PR office, BNC in LA, they opened up a New York office and needed a receptionist. And I said, I'll do that. And so I started as the receptionist of Bragman Nyman Caffarelli.
Amazing. And somehow along the way, you're representing these amazing people.
It's because I'm nosy. Like I sat at that front desk and it was before cell phones.
Okay.
So if you were a big star and you wanted to call your publicist, you had to call the main number.
Oh, right.
And then I would put you through. And before I put you through, I would have a little chitty chat with you.
And by the way, they probably needed to get on your good side to get you to put them through.
That's the thing is when you pay publicists a ton of money, they don't always answer your call. I was shocked. Like these big stars were calling and the publicists were not that into it. And so I would chitter chatter. And then often too, they didn't want publicity. They wanted dinner reservations. So they wanted to know what was the hot show in town. And because I had nothing to do at the front desk, I couldn't watch old movies like in the video store. I used to read Time Out or I used to pour through the magazine. So if you called up and asked what was the hottest restaurant, I would know, not because I'd been there, but because I'd read New York Magazine. And so I was this font of information, which is at the end of the day, what it's really been a good gossip columnist or a good publicist is all about.
Yeah. So, all right, I have to ask, because I know you worked with Diddy.
Diddy.
Tell me some stories. What are your thoughts on
it? It's really tricky because what's going on now is awful. And I have to say that right at the top. And I'm no Diddy supporter anymore. When that Cassie tape came out was the moment I switched.
But by the way, before the Cassie tape came out,
I didn't know to believe it or not.
You didn't,
I was one of those people because
you had never seen that side of him.
No. Even worse, Rachel. He was charming. Mm. Of all the clients I've ever had, he was the kindest to me.
Wow.
He looked you in the eye. He made me feel important. He would give me his car if I was working late. He'd make sure I got home. No other client cared about that.
Wow.
I was once in his car and there was a rap song on and the F word and a gay slur kept coming on. He went mad. Turn that off. My publicist is gay. I'm so sorry, Rob. When I'd go to his
house. Oh, that just gave me the chills.
It's the oddest thing. But a lot of really twisted people. A lot of monsters are charming.
Right.
I'm not saying Diddy is a serial killer, but Jeffrey Dahmer and these people were apparently very, very charming.
Ted Bundy.
Jeffrey Epstein was apparently very, very charming. Mm. And so when I worked with Diddy taught me how to be a publicist. He was paying me, but really I should have paid him. I went to the PR school of Diddy, and that's what Diddy does. He's not a terribly talented musician.
Yeah.
He's not a terribly good-looking person.
Right.
He's not a great designer. He's not Karl Lagerfeld.
Right.
But he knows how to put on a circus.
Yeah.
He knows how to put on a show. He knows how to change a name. He knows how to stage a photograph. Mm-hmm. He knows how to make himself the center of whatever's going on.
Right.
And so I learned from Diddy how to be a publicist. I learned how to write a press release. I learned how to stage a photograph. I learned how to get attention for my client, but maybe myself along the way. Mm-hmm. And so my experience with Diddy at the time, if none of this had happened, if we hadn't found out about all this, I would be saying Diddy was my favorite client. And now I have to be careful about that because it sounds terrible, doesn't it? But he was charming,
right?
Funny.
So what's the latest now with the whole saga?
So he's been found guilty of two very serious crimes. Mm-hmm. However, the three really, really serious crimes, mm-hmm. he has been found innocent. And so he's trying to get out. He's in jail at the moment. He didn't get bail. I think just today he offered to put up $50 million to get released. And I think Diddy, knowing Puff, he could pull it off.
Yeah.
He taught me to. Never accept no for an answer. And the other thing he said to me over and over again, and it was inspiring at the time and now it's perverse, was the road to success is paved with failure. So when you fail, you get back up and you try again, which mm-hmm. is a really good lesson to teach people, but not a good lesson to teach somebody to get out of jail.
Right.
So it works both ways, doesn't it? It works like...
So he won't accept
no. He will not accept no.
Yeah. And he probably, you know, thinks he will ultimately get out. What is the worst that can happen? Do we know what his actual sentence is at this point?
It looks like he's going to... I think the maximum is 5 years.
Okay.
The minimum is 6 months, but he's already been in for over a year. So when they come, I would predict the legal experts I spoke to said are probably about 2 years, one of which he's already served. Mm-hmm. So he's probably got a year in jail. Not good. Not a nice place to be. And then he'll come out and he won't disappear.
Right.
He'll fight to come back.
And he could. Come back.
I could see him going on tour with Kanye West.
Right.
I could see him selling baby oil. But that's how he thinks.
Right.
That's how he thinks.
How can I turn this into a comeback?
I could be like the spokesperson for Johnson & Johnson. I
mean, right. Well, he could. Probably.
He could. He could. As sick as it is, he could.
Sick. Wow. So how do you think he's doing in jail?
I would think there's a perverse part of Puff that loves all the attention. He always used to tell me he was going to be the most famous person in the world. Arguably, he is.
Yeah.
So there's a weird part of him that will love that we're talking about him. And there's part of him, too, that will be really, really angry that this happened to him. It's inconceivable to him that somebody as powerful, somebody as rich, somebody as charming could be in jail. And he is. And so at the end of the night when you and me go to bed, he goes to sleep in a prison cell. Mm. And so that must have an impact. I'd like to think there's some growth there. I'd like to think that he's going to do some good. I'd like to think that he has found a bigger purpose than himself.
Yeah.
But that isn't often what happens with people who are this successful. You've met a ton of like really successful people. And part of the reason Diddy's successful is that he is his own hobby.
Yeah.
From the minute he gets up to the minute he goes to sleep, he thinks about Diddy.
It's interesting because I do think while you're in it, a lot of people are so like, they're convinced that when they get out or when they have that second chance, they're going to change. Yeah. They're going to do all this good. They're going to rehab everything. But when they get out, they're like, okay, that was in the past. That's over.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Remember Martha, when she went to jail, she was going to stay friends with everybody she met.
Right.
Somebody made her a poncho that I thought was good. She moved on.
And the only person I really have met, do you remember, obviously you do, the whole scandal with Lorena Bobbitt.
Yes.
She spent her whole life dedicating it to domestic violence. Oh. She's changed her name her whole life because everybody thought she was crazy. And she still maintains that she
was abused and that this was marital rape and all, you know, all these things that were terrible. And she's the one person I've met in doing this that has really made her life about what happened to her. Everyone else has distanced themselves or taken it to use it as a joke to get to the next level, you know?
I knowing Diddy as I do, I don't think he'll use it as a joke, but he's shameless.
Yeah.
I could see Diddy opening a battered woman's center. The P. Diddy battered woman. Like, I could literally see him trying to become a spokesperson for domestic violence, which the irony with, you know, of what happened. We saw that tape with Cassie.
Right.
He might lean into this.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I think would be great and would be good for him. I mean, remember all that stuff happened with Michael Vick?
Yes.
And now I see Michael Vick all the time and everybody's kind of resurrected around him and they love him. And, you know, I think he has a couple pit bulls and, you know, he's on podcasts. No one ever asks him about what happened before. That guy would abuse animals. Yeah. Like, that's almost like the worst kind of a human in my perspective, you know? So, I don't know. Everybody...
You can Hulk Hogan just passed and nobody's remembering that he used the N-word. Nobody's talking about that he used the F-word, that gay slurs. Like, nobody's talking that there was a sex tape of him and his best friend's wife.
Right.
Like, it's
I forgot about this.
See, it's amazing how you can change your narrative and nobody does it better than Puff. Madonna, maybe.
Right.
But Puff, he's the first one that figured out how to change his name. Like, he was dating Jennifer Lopez and she became J-Lo. Like, that name change is such a now stereotypical trick for celebrities.
Right.
We don't remember who invented it.
Exactly.
Puff was there.
Was one of the first. Okay, so you did all these interesting things with PR. Anyone else that were
Jennifer Lopez was big.
Stories?
So Jennifer, I loved working with J-Lo. She was smart and tough. And
what's with her being such a love addict?
It's crazy. The one, like, I wasn't involved in her private life. I think a lot of people think that when you're someone's publicist, you're their best friend.
Right.
That isn't the case with Jennifer. She's very, very good at putting up boundaries, which I think is healthy. Mm-hmm. And so I only ever saw Jen in a professional aspect, but the Jen I knew on a red carpet, the Jen I knew at an interview, the Jen I knew even over dinner was a really tough, smart, really level-headed person.
And the, like an alpha?
Yeah, she was the boss. Yeah. Jen was the boss.
The boss.
She knew what she wanted. And I always say, after yes, the next best answer is no, because maybe gets me nowhere. Like, a maybe's like, well, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jen was always yes, no, no, yes, yes, no. Like, just straight down the middle. Her Achilles heel was the love.
I was just going to say those exact words. It's really sad to watch because then here she is. She ends up alone. Hopefully she will find something in her life that makes sense. And I think everybody was really hoping it would be Ben.
Yeah,
Ben, that was fun. That whole resurgence.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote their breakup statement. I wrote their breakup statement. So I was working with Jen when she broke up, and I remember she called me to say it's over. And then
for the second time, you mean
the first time?
The first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's so interesting when you're a publicist, when celebrities break up, that statement that's released. It takes hours of work. So normally you get on the phone. I worked for Jessica Simpson when she broke up with Nick.
Okay.
Nick Lachey. I wrote that breakup statement. And so you write the statement. And it's normally like a very generic...
We wish each other the best.
Yeah, we love each other. We're still friends.
Give us privacy. Yeah.
And then you have to send it to him and he has to approve it. And then his people approve it. Then he comes back and then you change it. And then you fight over this word or that word. And with Jen doesn't play. Jen was like, this is the statement. And it went out.
What was it?
Very boring, but she did not play. It was like, this is the statement. And she knew where she wanted it to go and who, I think Us Weekly broke it. And she was a boss. And I was like, wow, I want to be like her when I grow up.
Right.
And then I see a side of her when it comes to men. It's so interesting. Yeah. But that's what I think makes people so interesting.
Yeah.
Even the most organized, the most alpha, the most dominant people we know, they have an aspect to their life where they're not.
Right.
Today, this episode is sponsored by
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there.
Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Balance of nature. If you've ever flipped over a supplement label and thought, what am I even putting in my body? I hear you. That's why I'm such a fan of Balance of Nature. What makes these supplements stand out is simple. I can actually recognize what's inside. The fruits and veggies supplements are made with real whole ingredients like celery, spinach, cauliflower, shiitake mushrooms, blueberries, and mango. And their fiber and spice blend, it includes whole apple, cinnamon, flaxseed, and turmeric, ingredients you've probably already used in your own kitchen. I love knowing that what I'm taking is made from actual fruits, vegetables, spices, and fibers, not a bunch of stuff I can't pronounce. It's clean, convenient, and easy to add into your routine, whether that's swallowing the capsules, opening them into your smoothie, or sprinkling them on your food. And here's the best part. Right now, my listeners get an exclusive deal. Use code UNDERSTOOD for 35% off, plus get a free bottle of fiber and spice. Just head to balanceofnature.com, use code UNDERSTOOD, and get started with something you can actually feel good about. That's balanceofnature.com, use code UNDERSTOOD.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, isn't it interesting that all these people that we think we know because they're on camera, they're in the newspaper, they're so famous, we think that makes up who they are. But underneath, there are so many things, whether it's secrets or just things that are none of anybody's business on who they are as a real person.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew what was happening with Tiger. Nobody knew what, you know, what's been happening with Ben and Jen and Angelina when all that happened. You know, like,
did your friends know? When you were in the middle of it?
Yes, very few.
And that's why it kept a secret, because you were very selective about who you tell.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, for me, it was very difficult because my job, I don't know if you remember or if we were friends then. I guess we weren't until after this. But I was the gatekeeper at the hottest nightclubs
that's
in
right.
the world.
Was it Marquee at the time?
Well, it was in Vegas. We had opened up Tao in Vegas, and that was the number one nightclub in the world. And I was the director of VIP operations there. So my job was to deal with the celebrities and protect them. I can't tell you, I could write a book on the people that would come in, and I just had to protect them. From their wives, from their girlfriends, from their secrets. I had celebrities that would come in that were A-list actors in the middle of a movie that was out, and they were heterosexual, but were bringing their boyfriends there and wanted a secret little corner so they could be with their boyfriend. I had people who were pretending that they were going through some health issues, but you know, this was the time when, even though it probably was, I'm sure it was illegal, but people were like smoking in nightclubs. And it wasn't so poo-pooed as it is now, right? You know, I would light a cigarette and just so they could be like, okay, hand it to me behind your back. I had to pretend I was smoking so that they could be smoking it when everyone thought they were in the middle of treatment for some cancer or whatever. You know, like crazy situations.
And nobody ever asked you about your secrets. That's so ironic that you've got all these secrets that you're holding on to. And the biggest secret is actually yours.
Which, by the way, and I didn't want – it kind of fell into that. I didn't want it to be that way. I wasn't trained that way. I really was someone who – I wasn't somebody who slept with clients. I wasn't somebody who was involved in any of that. I was very legit because I wanted to take care of these people. I cared about them, like you said.
Right. Well, you wouldn't have had that job in that venue had you been sloppy. Like, let's be clear about that, right? When the press – painted you as someone sloppy or someone messy, there was no way you would have worked for Noah in the hottest club in the hottest city. You know, it just wouldn't have happened.
You wouldn't have trusted me.
A terrible little club. like queens. Like it wouldn't have been
exactly.
That club.
No, I knew what it meant to be the gatekeeper, and I cherished that job. And also I knew that those people were just people. It wasn't, you know, they had a job that was in the public eye, but that didn't mean that their love life or whatever was going on in their private life had to be so public. So They deserved to have the best night of their life coming out to the hottest nightclub if they wanted to. I had to make sure that they were protected when they did that. So I loved that job. I loved it.
I liked being the gatekeeper. I did. I liked it. Yeah. I liked knowing the secrets and keeping the secrets. You know, now I'm on the opposite side of that coin. I'm somebody that tells the secrets, right. Although I'm cautious about it. There's many, many, many secrets. There's a lot of stuff I know that I wouldn't print. In fact, I'd argue there's more that I haven't said than I have.
Right.
But it's a curious job. Knowing secrets and having secrets and the power that secrets give you. And how do you tell that story?
Right. And that's what I was going to ask you about. In what you do now, being a gossip, yep. Would you call yourself a gossip?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm a gossip columnist.
So how do you know when too much is too much, or that you have a story that if you break this, this is going to change your career?
Yeah, my career's pretty good. So I like my piece of the pie. So if I was more ambitious, I could be Perez Hilton, or I could be bigger than I am. I could be the Cindy Adams. But, you know, that comes with a lot of baggage and responsibility. And so I think I have a really good balance where I have a great private life, my own life, which I'm very, very protective about. Yeah. Ironically, for somebody who talks about everybody else, I don't talk about my own life very, very much. But there are things that I don't touch. Like I don't do health crisis. I knew somebody had cancer and I knew they were in a really bad shape and somebody else broke it. And I wasn't jealous. It's not my story.
Right.
I don't do children's stories. If there's something going on for your kids, I don't act. People. Mm-hmm. I don't like I've known about gay celebrities and I don't do that. And it could potentially would. It'd get me more hits. More people would click it. You know, I've called my column and my business Naughty But Nice. Mm-hmm. And that's who it really is. I am cheeky. I love a good laugh, but I'm not a mean guy. I will pinch you.
Right.
But I won't punch you. I don't punch. But I don't do that by nature. It's nothing that I have to pretend to be. I'm a nice guy, but I'm naughty.
Right.
I'm cheeky. I do like naughtiness. Like it makes me giggle.
Like you love the juiciness.
I love it. Yes. And it's the hardest thing to do, Rachel. It's very easy to be mean and interesting.
Right.
It's very easy to say hateful, horrible things and have a million people read your column. It's very easy to be really nice and really boring.
Right.
Like, but to be naughty but nice, to be interesting but not a complete like a-hole, that is difficult.
It is difficult.
For me, it's not what I report, it's how I report it. And the tone. That's what's so important to me. The tone of it is cheeky.
Because the people that are listening, like I know when I've listened to some of your stuff, I sit there and giggle.
Giggle.
Like,
it's ridiculous.
Just between us
it's
and we're like, oh my God.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I whisper.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about sex. I'm a real prude in my person. Like I don't like it.
That's
so we talk about private parts or bits and pieces and like we don't, like it makes me giggle. I'm in the friendship business.
Yeah. So what are you, like, back when I first met you, it was different because there wasn't as much or any social media as there is
Rachel,
now.
We didn't have cell phones.
So that's right. So what I'm, or we had BlackBerry.
Yeah, we had BlackBerry.
But I don't think you could
sidekicks.
Take a picture.
Yeah, Paris Hilton was like with a sidekick.
Yeah, like I don't recall ever taking pictures with a phone. I don't think you could. And it wasn't like this big texting thing that it is now.
No.
And there was no social media. So my question is, like, what do you think of all these people who are now content creators who sit at their homes and are making a bigger living than people that have gone to college for this and are real reporters and know about, listen, my first job was at Bloomberg.
That's right.
You had to be first, but you had to be factual and you had to know what the hell you were talking about. And you had to have at least two sources and you had to protect the sources. Now people are out there in their living rooms, you know, that have never done anything in their lives. And they're like, well, let me just tell you about Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. And they talk with such authority.
Right.
And it's insane because they're just regurgitating stuff, but they're making money off of it.
Yeah, I have different feelings about it, mixed feelings. Part of me is I love entrepreneurs. I love people that hustle. I was not born a rich kid. So to make your own money and to sort of like pave your own way is really inspiring. However, we're seeing a lot of news outlets, including E! News, a lot of the entertainment outlets, are just going to go out of business because there's nothing they can say that is as interesting as a blogger sitting at home making stuff up.
And they can't say it as fast.
Well, they can't say it as fast. Then they've got to go through filters of legal,
right,
through publicists, right, through managers, through celebrities. And so once you see those filters and then the delay, we've got to wait till 9 o'clock tonight or 7 o'clock right, tonight to say it, it's pretty much irrelevant. However, there has to be a place for truth. Mm-hmm. Like, my reporting's accurate.
Right.
I'm really good at this. I know every gossipy hair and makeup person in the world. That's where right, you get the good gossip from.
Right, that is true.
They always be nice to hair and makeup. Right. They know everything. I was in the green room of a morning show and there was a celebrity being a little bit difficult to the makeup person. And I just winked at the makeup person. And I was like, I gotcha. Because they know everything.
Right.
And so... yeah, it's hard, Rachel. Like, I sit there and I scroll through TikTok and I get like, and I do this for a living.
Right.
And I get fooled. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe
right,
it.
And people,
and then I'm like,
think,
that didn't happen. Right. It just did not happen.
Right.
And so like, it's complicated. I think you should find somebody who you trust, who you enjoy listening to, and follow them.
Right.
Don't reward people who are just making stuff up because
right,
that's cheating. It's like somebody that cheated at the test.
Yeah, it really
like,
is.
I paid my dues. I tell people who want to be me, young people that want a profession like mine, I'm saying get a job at a legitimate outlet, at least for a year, for a couple of years, and learn the rules before you learn how to break them.
Right.
Like just learn the rules.
Right.
And, you got to be right.
Right.
You
it's
be right,
so true. And I, by the way, I love having that in my background.
Yeah.
I love having to, that I had people older than me that have been doing it for 30 plus years, telling me what was right, what
yeah,
was wrong, correcting, editing,
yeah,
saying, you can't go with this. Where are you hearing this?
Right.
Who said this? If they, that's hearsay. You have to get it right from their mouth. The other thing that's interesting is that these content creators are becoming famous in their own right.
That's
and
right,
then, but they're getting interviews on their podcast or whatever it is now that they have with celebrities that, you know, networks are wanting interviews.
Yeah, I hate the expression fake it till you make it, but they do.
Yeah.
It works. It
yeah,
does work. That's the irony here is that we can sit around and be like, oh, it's terrible. But it works.
It does work.
Like, it does work. And so it's a very, very complicated place we're in. But I think find people that get it right and people that you enjoy
yeah,
and reward those and don't reward the others. But you got to do the work.
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts. There's not like... You got to do the work. For me to be mildly entertaining for 10 minutes takes 10 hours
right,
of like
research,
work.
Yeah.
Of just work.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Okay. So how do you come up with your stuff? Do you recycle kind of, you look at all the things?
No, it's all exclusive. So I started this Substack.
And
so
what is Substack?
Substack is basically a platform that you can go on. A lot of writers are on it now. Tina Brown. So a lot of writers that were in traditional media.
You have to sign up for it.
You sign up and you get a newsletter every day. It's basically a newsletter. So you sign in. It's Rob Shooter on Substack. You put in your email and that's all you do.
Okay.
So you sign in by putting in your email and then you get a email from me, a newsletter
and
once,
twice
a day.
And you have to sit down and write something?
I do a newsletter 3 times a day. I have a team, so it's not just me.
Okay.
So it's a little office that we have.
About gossip? Or are you going to be
short,
like, I went to lunch with
no,
Rachel?
No, short items.
Whatever.
It's never about me. What you said a minute ago, if I can pick up on, a lot of people get into this not to be good reporters or good gossip columnists, but to become famous.
Right.
And I don't... It's not about me.
Right, right,
it's
right.
It's not story. You don't care
right,
where I went for lunch. You don't care what shoes I'm wearing.
Right.
It's never about me. And this is the mistake that so many people get into on television or in the news business. They become the story. I'm actually, and this sounds crazy because I'm sitting here with you, but I'm quite shy about all this. Like, I'm not a natural show pony.
Right.
I like telling other people's stories. I don't
so
really
like
telling
mine. So you're not going to ever do a post on your Instagram? Let me tell you what
no,
I put on my face before I go to
unless
sleep,
you pay me a lot of money
right,
to do. No,
right,
I don't do it.
Okay.
I don't do it. I don't do my shoes. I don't. And I turn down a lot of interviews. If we weren't friends, I probably wouldn't be doing this one here.
Right.
I do interviews. I was on Nancy Grace this morning talking about Diddy. I was on CNN last night or a couple of weeks ago talking about a different celebrity. I go on TV to talk about other people.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to talking about myself,
yeah,
I don't really do them. This is
right,
the rare exception. And so that's the tricky part of this is, for me, it's not about me. So with Substack, I do a newsletter twice a day, and it's three exclusive, really short stories, but just breaking news, something I've heard. Like, I just, on the way here, I got a text from a friend of mine who's very, very high up at NBC Comcast. Mm-hmm. They're spinning off E. So Comcast, NBC, they own Bravo, they own E, they own CNBC.
Okay.
They're spinning off some of the companies.
Okay.
And so I got a tip today that Kris Jenner is looking to buy E.
Right.
Now, E for the Kardashians, like it's just delicious. I banged that out in 20 minutes. I fact checked it, but it's not a 1,000-word story.
Right.
It's 200 words. So right. I can do it on my iPhone.
It's just kind of like the headline.
Yeah, it's the headline and 200 words and some great quotes from a great source. And now that's entered the conversation.
Right.
And so I do this. Katy Perry, is she dating Justin Trudeau? So she was spotted having dinner.
Is Justin single?
Yes, he is. Broke up with his wife.
So they would be a great couple.
They'd be a great couple. But his people, I spoke to people around him, and they were like, he went for dinner. She's playing Montreal.
Yeah.
He wanted to see the show. She invited him for dinner. Not, he didn't invite her.
Right.
He went for dinner with her, and I think he paid. I asked him. I love to know who paid.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of money. Right. But I wanted to know who paid. I think he picked up the check, and they were like, if they're dating, he does not know. Now, I heard the dinner was great.
Right.
But that's how dating starts.
Of course.
On your first date. You don't say, like, because you're famous. If you went on a date with somebody, I'd take a photograph and foolish press that didn't really know you would be like, Rachel, you could tell dating.
Right.
I wouldn't.
No.
I'd call you or I'd call a source close to you and you'd be like, she had a nice time.
Right.
There's going to be a second date.
Right. There may not be, but...
And so, like, nobody just dates after appetizers.
Totally.
Like, they get to dessert and even then you don't know if you're dating. Right. I've got friends who've been on dates with guys 6 weeks and the guy ain't so sure it's a date.
Exactly. It could be 6 months. They don't know if it's a date. Yeah.
So I have a story today about Katy Perry, and it's very much that she's gung-ho, she's smitten, he's very handsome, he's charming, he's like, I like her.
Yeah. How could he not like
her? How could he not? So they're not dating yet.
Okay, good. Well, I hope that they are.
But this is the type of gossip that I give you each day. So each day, it's just these headlines and a really short story.
Right.
If you can't read my newsletter in 5 minutes or less, then I've messed up. Because I'm not 60 minutes.
Right. No,
did you
love
find
it.
That too? Some people, when they get successful, they become really pompous.
Yes, like, of course.
Just shut up. Just tell.
Right. Just tell the story. Okay. I have a bunch of things I want to ask you about then. Okay. What are your thoughts on Brigitte Macron?
I think she's tough. I think she's smart. He's wildly in love with her. The rumors of her being a man are absolutely not true, and you will be sued. Like, she's got a lawsuit about that coming forward. I haven't met her, but I'm told she's smart. You know what the thing is? People have issues when a man's dating an older woman.
Yeah, but what is it with women, not just people in general, wanting to take a powerful woman and say that she's a man? Remember when they did this with Michelle Obama?
Because it takes away your femininity, and they can't believe, some people, they can't believe you're a powerful woman without a penis, and it's really sexist. Like, why can't she be powerful and strong and him be submissive? Right. Why can't
but
they?
But it's coming from Candace Owens.
It is coming from Candace Owens.
Which is crazy.
But that's the truth of this. I've learned in life that in my business, the people that are the cruelest to powerful women are women.
Yeah,
women
well,
don't,
that's true.
Yeah, men support men, and gay boys support gay guys. Like, there is a gay mafia. I'm lucky enough to be on the outer circle of it.
Right.
But women don't have a women mafia.
No.
They're not that kind. Your life, Rachel, have women helped you or have men?
No. I have a very small circle.
Yeah.
And very few women in them.
It's very few women, to be honest.
And it's sad. But, you know, I have very close men, gay men, regular men, straight men.
Yeah.
But I just identify with men too better because I don't speak in what I call meta messages. Like when I say the grass is green or whatever, I said the grass is green. And people are like, well, you may have meant this and that and the other thing. I'm like, no. So, and that's what women tend to do. They say something and they mean 150 other things. I don't do that. I don't like to gossip. I don't like it when I go to dinners with a bunch of women and all they do is want to gossip about people because it's people that they don't know. And by the way, way, I probably know those people. And so I'm like, I don't want to gossip about something you read in a magazine. Right. And then if it's like gossiping about someone who's like a mom in our school, I don't really want to do that either, because people have done that to me where they've talked about me and I don't want to be that person. So I try and change that dynamic. Mm-hmm. And like, not all women are okay with changing it. They want to just talk shit about other people.
Yes, support women.
And it's not always women against women, but you know,
it's a trend. You notice it. Like, I've noticed it when sources call me. You feel them out. You want to know their agenda. Nobody tells you a story for nothing. They tell you a story because they want to promote somebody or they dislike somebody. Remember?
Exactly.
Hate is more powerful than love. Mm. And so I hate to admit that. It's an awful thing to say. But the reason people tell me stuff is often because of jealousy.
Yeah.
Because they don't like
that. Because they want that story to come out.
They want to stab that person. And most of those calls are made by women.
Right. So in terms of this lawsuit, what I found was very interesting. It's 99 pages. The Macrons have sued using Clark Locke, which is the law firm that was known for doing the Dominion voting thing.
Oh, good.
That's why I think that's a really big deal. I mean, they are taking this very seriously. And then I saw today that Candace Owens was like, oh, I'm not backing down. I'm going to prove that she's a man.
Yeah, she's not a man.
Well, by the way, if she was a man, okay, who cares? Right. Like, what? Why are we, like, why does she need to go after her about it?
Because it touches her base.
It's just and so this is weird.
Like, no, but if you think about trans issues and how that's sort of, really fired up a base. Like,
but it reminds
people are so
me of,
angry about trans and people in sports and women's bathrooms. Like, you know, in my house when I grew up, we had a unisex bathroom.
Yeah.
The boys and the girls used it. We had one bathroom in my house. Right. And so, like 32 Sundar Lane, Great Bar Birmingham, we had one bathroom. Boys and girls used it. We're fine.
Right.
And so, but it really, this is red meat.
Yeah.
And so Candace's audience, Jeffrey Epstein and trans are the two buttons that are going to make her a lot of money.
Right. But it seems so dangerous to me because this seems
it's like dangerous.
A real lawsuit.
Yeah.
And I don't know that she has a network that's going to back her for this or get her out of it if she does. Remember what happened with Alex Jones?
Right.
I mean, he kept doubling down on, Sandy Hook didn't happen.
That's right.
And by the way, I've had his lawyer on my show. And when I asked his lawyer, I was like, but how could he really think that? And he said, I don't think he really thought that. I think he knew it was real, but it was to the base. It worked for the conversation. It made him a lot of money. And he just kept going with it. And then he's like, and then I don't really know what he believed, but I know that he doesn't think it's fake, but he could never really say that.
So
and it's insane. And I wonder if she's going to get herself into some hot water with us.
I think she is. But along the way, she's going to build up a support group. We're in that place now where you can't tell anybody, you can't tell your audience anything new. You have to confirm what they believe.
Right.
And so a good example of this is in my magazine days as the executive editor of OK Magazine. Mm-hmm. I did a cover on Larry Birkhead, her name? Anna Nicole Smith's baby daddy.
Yeah.
And so we paid him a ton of money to do Father's Day pictures with Danny Lynn.
Oh, nice.
And we paid him a ton of money to go to like Disneyland with her. And along the way, we noticed that the story of fatherhood that he was telling didn't seem to be what we were seeing.
Oh.
And he seemed to be kind of an absent father. He wasn't quite, there was lots of nannies around. And we did a cover of him. And it was like Larry's twisted double life.
Uh-oh.
Good headline. But we had the receipts to back it up. Like the story then detailed how it didn't quite fit. It was our worst selling cover because we told the public something they didn't want to hear. You can't do a bad story on Jennifer Aniston.
Ugh.
You can't. They don't want to hear it.
Okay, wait. Let's talk about Jennifer Aniston.
I love
for a
her.
Second. So I went to college with the guy that she's dating. Yes.
I should just shut up talk.
So, okay. Have you done this story?
I have done this story. Tell me everything about
him.
Did you like him?
His name is Jim.
Did you kiss him?
No. I didn't date him, but my best friend did.
No. Is he a good kisser?
No, I didn't ask her, but I can ask her. So for the next time you report, she speaks nothing but she says nothing but good things about
That's good.
But the thing is that he has a limp. You know this, right?
I don't know. No.
Okay. He has a problem with his leg. So he's about 5'6", by the way, too.
Sure.
And my friend she's maybe like 5'8" or something. But anyway, he has a very good looking face.
Yes.
And has very beautiful eyes.
Yes.
And she said to me, you know, even recently, she goes, oh my God, did you see who's dating Jennifer Aniston, the guy I used to date? I'm like, no. She's like, I told you to have him on your show a long time ago because he's a hypnotist. And I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I think it's misunderstood. So I was like, how could I not have listened to this? Oh my God. And she's like, he's 5'6" and he has a limp. He walks as she said to
me. Is it a noticeable limp?
Yeah.
So if you walk,
yes, she said. She said that she had thought that his one leg was. He was born one leg shorter than the other.
Sometimes people wear bigger shoes.
But no. He doesn't. And so I read about it, and it was something, he has some disease and where he doesn't have, like, feeling in his leg. So he walks with a, so not to be rude.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a great guy. But I will say, 5'6", walking with a limp, and now dating Jennifer Aniston, this guy has hit his stride. I mean,
stride, no pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. I mean, he's not getting better than that, so he better hold on to that. Wow.
I hear he's a really nice guy. So my reporting on it is that he's a very sweet guy. He's charming. He's Greek. She's Greek, so she likes that.
Okay.
And her friends like him. What they're worried about is some of her friends are worried about he sells books. He's been on Maury Povich. Like, he does know how to play the media. Yeah. So ending up with Jen is something they're always nervous of. But I think that's always the case. If you meet somebody that's in the public eye, I'm sure your friends sometimes are suspicious, like, oh, he's just after your fame or something. I don't think that's the case with him. But her other group of friends are worried about how he's going to handle this spotlight.
Right.
Because this is a lot.
I think he looks like, listen, he has like 500,000 followers and he's built a big base on his own before her as being a hypnotist, which I think is a little strange. By the way, you know, he went to the business school at UNH. We went to UNH and he was in the business school there. And I think he worked on Wall Street afterwards. And so he was a business guy. And then he quit all that to get into health because of what was going on with his leg. And so this is a real...
That actually makes me like him more. Yeah. Like, I love that.
So maybe the way... We should find out. Betting the way he found her is that she hired him as like a hypnotist.
Well, I was told she was a fan of his work.
Okay.
Of his books. I think he has several books out there. Yeah. And before they dated, I got somebody in my office to do a deep dive, and she'd liked some of his Instagram posts. So this started.
Wow.
Through what he does for a living. And I think Jen loves those self-help writers, and it's a genre that she really, really, really focuses on. So maybe that's how they I wish him the best. Everyone wants Jen to fall in love and find the happiness. And
it'll be like he's the Meghan Markle. Remember when everyone loved her for like a minute and they were like, America's princess? He'll be like America's prince.
He'll be America's
finally
prince.
She found a husband.
And if he messes with her, that's like burning the American flag.
They'll break the other leg. Poor guy. Poor Jim. Good luck to you, Jim. All right, let's talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay, as of today, the House Oversight Committee rejected her request for immunity.
A bold request.
Yes. Well, okay, so here's what I want to get into about this. This could be, and I know the MAGA fans are going to just have a meltdown, the biggest scandal of our time since like Watergate or whatever.
Yeah, bigger.
And it's like no one's, I mean, people are talking about it, but people aren't really getting it. First of all, I don't believe that he killed himself. I really don't. I had a guy on my show last week spent 5 months on 9 South, which is the unit that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in. He said that there was absolutely no way he could have killed himself. It doesn't work like that. You're not given sheets. You live on like a cement bed. It's like somewhat soft, but he would not call it, you know, like a mattress. And he's like, there is no way that you can hang yourself. I did remind him that, remember Kate Spade hung herself from like a doorknob?
I worked for Kate.
You did?
She was so great.
How terrible.
I loved her.
Do you think there was something weird there? Who hangs yourself from a doorknob?
I think she'd changed medication. She was seeing a new doctor, I heard. Kate was so special to me. I traveled with her. And I really loved her.
That must have been devastating.
I was devastated.
But was she, do you think leading up to that, she was just beyond depressed or something?
I think, depression and mental health issues.
And having issues with her husband, maybe.
Yeah, and she really never wanted to be that famous. Like, she didn't really enjoy.
But she had a kid, didn't
she? She had a kid. She has her daughter who, you know, it's a lot. But Kate breaks my heart. But what you were saying about Jeffrey is so important, because the law enforcement people that I've spoken to said exactly the same.
Yeah.
And then there's a minute missing.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about that, too. A lot of people, I just heard this on the news again, and I had heard it before, but then there is for people that don't know this, the FBI came out and said that there's obviously, you know, they have video, I guess it's video, not audio, right? In the prison, there is a minute, a full minute that's missing. And the police have come out or Nine South, whatever that's called now, it's changed its name, has come out and said, oh, that's a normal thing. There's a 1 minute point where.
Yeah, they said they changed the tapes. So it's certainly, I think at midnight.
And it happens to be the moment that he kills himself.
Now we're told that the FBI does have that minute.
Right.
So okay. The tape exists. Tape always exists. Like, even if you hit delete, it still exists somewhere. Like, you're a frenzy. If you watch Dateline, you know it never goes away. Like,
it never goes away.
So that is a story. I met him. So in my, I repped Naomi Campbell and Tyra Banks. So I'd go to the Victoria's Secret fashion shows, and he was always there. I think Victoria's Secrets was one of his clients. And so I saw him, and like Diddy, he was charming.
Yeah.
Good looking.
But you didn't see him fondling young women,
never.
Did you?
No, but he was too smart for that.
Right.
Like Diddy too. They're too smart to do it in public. Like I laughed when the Diddy Stank scandal broke and everybody thought he was having like Eyes Wide Shut orgies
right.
on 42nd Street at Cipriani's. And I was like, no, if he'd done that, we'd all know.
Right.
Like what we found out through the trial is it was him, Cassie, and a sex worker and a tripod.
Right.
That was it. It was three people in a room, two of which weren't talking. And so...
And by the way, to digress to that, do you think we're going to hear like Justin Bieber's having his meltdown because of all that?
And no, because the tapes would come out.
Right.
Would have those tapes.
So you think we're done with that conversation?
I think we're done with that conversation.
Okay.
The question about Justin Bieber is still a conversation that I think people are going to have. But I don't think it's Diddy related. But Epstein isn't going away.
Right.
When you said this is as big as Watergate.
Yeah.
Rachel, this drip. The first rule of PR is just dump all the information. Even the bad, just do it once.
Right.
And then you can move on. We've talked about celebrities bouncing back and having careers. Michael Vick and you know, who've done terrible things. They should just.
But you're so right. Just get
do
it out there.
And it's going to be ugly.
And once you live with no skeletons in your closet, it's so much better. You don't have to have any.
How long did you keep your big secret? Was it months or years?
It was. You know, a year, maybe.
That's a long time
but
to carry
don't
that.
Forget, I felt like my life was secrets because I was covering up, had other people's secrets.
I
so
see.
It didn't seem all that much different. But, you know, I just felt like everything was one big secret. So I felt like it was years.
Did you have secrets before? I grew up with secrets.
Yeah, because remember I dated PK?
That's right.
Paul Kemsley. And that was a secret because he was getting divorced from Loretta, his first wife.
Right.
I hate bringing it up because people talk to me about it all the time because he's on The Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever it was. But like PK's a great guy. Great guy. I have nothing bad to say about him. Never will. But he was a client of mine when I worked in the nightclub industry. And for a year, we were just friends and he was a client. And then somehow I fell in love with him because he was so charming. And he is a charming guy. And, you know... Now I forget why I was talking about this.
We're talking about secrets and holding
secrets.
Them and holding them.
So I felt like I couldn't tell people about that because he was a client, you know, and he spent like $450,000 in my club probably to get my attention,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And also his divorce was not final from Loretta, and he cared about his kids so much. Those three kids that he never talks about now because now he deals with Dorit's kids that he has with him. But and also don't forget, you remember the oh my God, David Boreanaz.
That's right.
Stint I got into.
Of all your boyfriends, I thought he was the cutest.
Well, he was cute, but he was a total dick. And, you know, I sound like an idiot saying this because I'm very smart. But at the time, again, I was running a nightclub. He comes in, we meet, and he's obsessed with me from the moment he looks at me with those eyes like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's like,
puppy
you're
eyes.
The one. And I'm like, oh my God, me? Like, what do you mean? And I didn't watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I didn't know any of that, but I knew who he was. And he acted like he was in love with me and had been his whole life. And he said, I want you to know, my wife and I are getting a divorce. We live in the same home. I live in the garage.
Oh, so he's up front.
Because he had a son with her, and they were close, and it was all amicable. So we were hot and heavy from that minute. And then I come to find out she's pregnant. And he says, I just want you to know it happened before, you know, when something, whatever.
There's always an answer.
And I live in the garage or whatever.
I buy it.
And it's going to be fine. And we're just going to be amicable. And it was like the thing with Tom Brady. Remember when he had a baby with
Bridget Moynihan.
Bridget, and he had already moved on and was dating
Giselle.
Okay, so I'm thinking, all right, fine. I'm traveling with him. I'm going to London. I'm doing all sorts of things. He's not hiding that he's with me. He's taking pictures with me. Next thing I know, TMZ is breaking the story that he's in the hospital with his wife. I forget her name, Laura maybe. And it's terrible. I feel bad that I don't remember her name. And I find out that they're fully together. And I was the mistress. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
And it's amazing to me how people think And you don't have to be a superstar to think this, that you can keep these secrets.
Right.
It's arrogance.
But it was arrogance that he thought he could do that anyway. And by the way, he had cheated on her a million times. I found out later. And she had found out. And they had had all sorts of problems. And I think the baby was the resurrection of their relationship.
I see.
I digress. So we were talking about what? Ghislaine. Because I'm going to go back to that. So I personally don't think he was killed. I think there's another conspiracy where, because with all the money he has, I think that there was another body that was killed. I think it was someone else. And I think he is somewhere.
Oh, you think he got out?
I do. I do think that. Why would he kill himself? Why would he think it's over? You know, he had, similar to Diddy, I think, the idea that it's never over. We're going to figure a way out. And if someone killed him, why haven't they killed Ghislaine? Because she has the same information.
Right.
So to me, I think he got out.
When Harvey Weinstein went to prison, I said to a friend of mine who worked with Harvey, who knew Harvey, I said, he'll kill himself. And they said, narcissists don't kill themselves. Yeah. They don't. They always think they're going to beat the system.
They think that
they're
going to
keep. And like, that's what Harvey's done. He's kept fighting like Diddy. Yeah. He's going to keep fighting. Epstein is part of that club. And so for him to kill himself is an anomaly. It's something that is hard to explain. Yeah, when I saw him at Victoria's Secrets, he was like a kind of charming, not ogling young girls. But I think that that wasn't a place where he could be that powerful. It was about getting people alone and getting people to his island.
Right,
getting
he was more to powerful to show how much money he had and whatever.
Yeah, but it is a weird world. And
so you broke, or I saw that you were saying Trump may pardon her. Do you believe that that's going to happen?
I think it's already happened.
What kind of an idiot? Such a dumb move. Then everyone's really going to think he's guilty, don't you think?
I don't think Donald plays by the rules that everybody else does.
And don't you think that's a terrible look? If you're a huge MAGA fan.
I thought pardoning people on January 6th was a terrible look, and it clearly wasn't.
But the MAGA people thought that
was thought because that was on their behalf.
But do you think they will agree with this move?
No. I think for the first time ever, Teflon Don, who is just plays by different rules. Two or three of the scandals he'd had would bring down any other celebrity. Right. Nothing seems to stick to him. Epstein is sticking. There's something about this and his base that is not going away. And I think this is a base that believes in conspiracy theories, believes in powerful people getting away with stuff. And there's some truth to that. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so this plays into that. But I believe Ghislaine will get a pardon. And there's new reporting today that Diddy will. Puff and Donald were close in the 90s. And so they're saying now he might give Puff a full pardon, which on the surface looks so crazy. And why would you do that? Maybe to gin up support in the black community, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Ghislaine the benefit is, unless the benefit is that she keeps her mouth shut.
Right.
And it could be that.
Well, see, I only think the reason to do it is to open her mouth. You know, you only pardon her to say, okay, but we want all the details, you know.
Right.
But for him, it's...
Yes, but we don't want the details about me.
Right.
So I was like, you can name everybody else.
Right. And that's what he does best, right? Deflecting. So he may say, listen...
Clinton's.
I'll pardon you, yes. Yeah. But I want you to implicate everyone else. And I want you to actually come out and say, I had nothing to do with this.
Yes.
So... That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think it's already happened. Like my Trump sources, it's amazing because I don't do politics. Like, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
It's celebrities, but Donald is a celebrity.
Yeah.
I've been to Trump Tower. I've been out with Melania. I know the Trumps because they were celebrities. They were reality stars. And so it's like if Jennifer Aniston became president, I'd be an expert suddenly in presidential reporting because of Jen. Or like Kim Kardashian was in the Senate, I'd be a great Senate reporter because I understand that world of celebrities.
Right.
And so even though I don't do a lot of reporting on the Trumps, I have great sources in there. You know, I've been in Trump Tower. They've got a conveyor belt. What's it called? A turnstile. So when you drive in, your car spins round and spits back out. So I know the inner workings of Trump Tower probably better than many political reporters. Donald Trump sued me once, when he was a celebrity. He sued me.
For what?
I interviewed Marla Maples on camera. It was like this. Like, it wasn't in a Starbucks. I wasn't stalking her. I didn't follow her into a bush and record her. We were on a TV show with cameras, and she told me about him running for president. This was long before he ran.
Okay.
And I think she said he wouldn't do it because of the kids and blah, 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 blah. And I got a legal letter from Michael Cohen, his lawyer, and I was like, it's on camera.
Right.
They didn't care. They're still going to sue. And so, like, but.
So, did you have to take it down?
No, we never. It was Mark Cuban's network, and Mark Cuban had as much money, maybe more, as Donald Trump at the time. So, it ultimately didn't come down. So, Donald has had this sort of amazing history of threatening lawsuits, and then he never follows through on them.
Right, right.
But the threat often
is
can.
Scary.
Yeah, and it can see that you settle, you can. But we didn't back down. But the Trump stuff is so interesting to me because. We know this world. He would come to your clubs.
Yeah.
He would hang out in places we would go. I would be at dinner parties. And before he was the president, when Donald turned up, people always thought he was tacky. People always thought he was vulgar. Mm. But he was great fun.
It was so fun.
People laughed.
Funny. People don't realize how funny he is.
He invited me, or maybe, I don't think it was him or the production company, but I went to the season premiere, the finale of The Apprentice, which was a live taping. Mm-hmm. I think Joan Rivers won. And it was so much fun to be there. Now you can't say that without upsetting a lot of people.
Right, right, right.
But he was like a joke in a good way in New York.
Yeah. He called me and he asked me to be on The Apprentice. And then I had lunch with Michael Cohen.
Of course.
And Michael Cohen told me the whole thing. This is how it's going to be. Yes. And I forget who the girl was. And I've run into Michael a few times. We keep trying to remember. We thought it was Britney Spears. It was someone who they were going to have as like my nemesis. And it's very thought out like that, which I didn't know.
Oh, they plot it. The reason it's great TV and what Donald's learned about being the president is he treats the presidency like a television show.
Right.
And every day we get a new episode.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
It is funny.
They know you're going to hate her. If we put two pretty girls in together, they will hate each other.
Oh,
let's put two gay guys in and then they'll fight over them. It's socially engineered and you can see them pulling the strings and they do it. Really, you would have been good on The Apprentice. Why did you say no?
Because I ended up choosing to do, it was filming the same time as Celebrity Rehab. And I really felt a connection with Dr. Drew. And I was really having a hard time. The whole world hated me.
They did hate.
And so I felt like I need to go into a place where I can really figure out what's happening. Plus, they decided to pay me $400,000.
Thank you very much.
And The Apprentice, it was Favored Nations. They gave you $25,000, whatever it was.
No.
And it was over.
There's your answer.
But I was doing it for the Red Cross. I would have been the first person that my charity would have been the Red Cross. And I really believed in that because it was September 11th. And they had helped me. They gave me $100,000 when my fiance died.
That's
and
right.
I used that to buy an apartment. It was amazing because I got kicked out of my apartment because Andy was paying rent.
That's when you first popped on my radar.
Yeah.
It was 9/11.
Yeah.
I think we're on the cover of the Daily News.
I was on the cover of every single newspaper in the world.
Really beautiful, like so media.
It was called New York's Tragic Face. The New York Post put it out. And
do you have that picture framed?
Of course.
Yeah, you do have it.
Not framed, but I mean, I have it. But it's an iconic photo. It's
in
the museum downtown. It's everywhere. And that same photo ran on every single paper in the world. So every September 11th, someone from as far as New Zealand will call
and
a news
update.
Yeah, to give an update.
Well, what we were saying earlier, it'll be on your resume forever. Like Tiger Whirl, That Whirl.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were having drinks at Bottino, this little restaurant in Chelsea, and we left in those paparazzi outside, and you kissed me. You kissed me. And then a friend of mine at the Post texted me, Rachel's new man.
Right.
And the photo editor was like, Rob Shuler's a big old gay. And they were like, you do know.
That's
I laughed
so
out loud.
Funny.
But that was how immediate.
Yeah.
It was. Within 20 minutes, that picture was on the photo desk of the New York Post.
I know.
And had I been straight, I would have been
on
the cover.
Yeah. And probably people would have been like, oh, you're the guy that used to date Rachel, right? Yeah. Quickly before we end, I just want to ask about Hulk Hogan. Unfortunately, he died this week. It's terrible. What is the deal? I saw that 2 or 3 years ago, his daughter, Brooke, had taken herself out of the will because she did not like the incoming wife.
Yeah. I'm told that all the money's going to the new wife, that the children are not in the will. And I think this, though, I mean, it sounds really dramatic because we know that family because of reality TV. So you think of Hulk, Linda, the wife on TV, and the two kids. But life moves on. Like if you're divorced, you get your divorce, you figure out your settlement, and you move on. Like
I don't expect my ex-husband to be leaving me millions.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now the public might expect it because we know you as a couple.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when my brother got divorced, they figured it out, and he's not going to leave anything when he dies to his first wife.
Right.
And so I don't know why we would expect this to be any otherwise. All his money's going to go to, I think her name's Sky, the wife. They seemed pretty happy together.
She seems sweet.
She seems sweet. They're trying to, like, rebuild their lives. I think the son is going to try and pick up the WWE baton of his dad. It's very hard when kids try to, like, step into their parents.
Because they can never live
They never can. It's like
I've
Don Jr.
I don't remember. ever, who would have
whoever
surpassed?
Has been bigger than their parent. Maybe you could argue maybe Liza Minnelli, but Judy Garland's pretty big. You know, but there's very few. It's like Madonna's kids or like what? Right. They're never going to be.
What remember Muhammad Ali's daughter tried to become a boxer.
And he never quite. I know. If my dad was a boxer or my mom was Madonna, I'd open a flower shop. I'm not getting into show business.
Nothing.
Like I'm not going to get into boxing. So yes, all the money, but it's not as much money. I was told the estate's about 25 million. There's a lot of money there, but it's not hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Right. Okay. Any other story that you want to break?
But can I just talk about my new crush? Lauren Sanchez. So obsessed with Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez.
Are you?
I don't know what it's about them. I do know what it's about them.
Well, first of all, he looks great.
He looks great.
Yeah.
And she looks phenomenal.
She looks fit.
And I love they don't pretend to be anyone they're not.
Right.
They don't tone it down. Yeah. They don't care. They are rich and they like luxury and she likes voo, voo, voo.
Right.
And he likes her looking voo, voo, voo.
Right.
And it's the authenticity. It almost reminds me of the first season of a really good Bravo show before they get twisted.
Right,
before
exactly.
They know the cameras are there.
I just feel like we would all love to be a fly on the wall to know what their sex life is because they are both injecting a lot of testosterone.
What does that do for your sex life? Does that increase it?
Increase.
Oh, I'm sure they're
at it. Fucking all day.
I'm sure that. I hope they are.
Yeah, me too.
I hope
good
they're
for them.
At it every day. And I hope she reaches over to that Hermes purse and pulls out a scarf and says, "Jeffrey, tie me up."
Right.
They're probably very boring and watching Netflix, or Amazon, we should say, not
right.
Netflix.
Right.
I'm so into them. The Daily Beast, I think, are going to hire a Lauren and Jeffrey Porter just to cover them.
Oh my gosh.
There's something about
them. Now that they're married, I wonder how much more, what's so exciting about that.
Well, now remember, he bought the Bond franchise. So he owns James Bond from the Broccoli family. So maybe she'll be a Bond girl.
Oh, goodness.
There's rumors of him buying a network.
Maybe she'll be a Barbie.
She could be a Barbie.
Right.
It's just,
so much
I'm obsessed with them. That's my new obsession. My oldest obsession was Meghan and the royals. I still do a lot of royal reporting, but my new obsession is Lauren Sanchez.
Why do you think everybody hates her?
Meghan?
Well, Meghan, and I think a lot of people don't like Lauren.
Yeah, I think they think it's opportunist and somebody married a rich guy and, people are cruel on women.
They're
I'm glad
cruel
I'm a
on Meghan.
Boy. I'm glad I'm a gay guy. Life's easier.
It's unfortunate for Meghan because she moves to another country where she thinks that this is going to be the most exciting thing that's ever happened to her. Everyone hated her. She moves back here. Then the Americans hate her more than the people in Europe.
They turned on her.
It's terrible.
What do you do? Maybe this is a terrible comparison. I don't think it is. You will hate it. What do you do when you have that much hate?
Yeah. Well, did you see that podcast she did recently?
It was awful.
Why does she talk like that? It just does.
Because she's not comfortable being who she is. And that would be my question to her. When I was a publicist, one of the most important questions I asked is, who are you in 4 words? J-Lo could answer it. Diddy could answer. Who are you?
What do you think J-Lo would say?
Jennifer, I think, was powerful and strong. And Diddy was, I'm a king. I'm fun. I'm funny. I'm naughty. I'm nice. I'm silly.
Right.
Just what are your words? Who are you?
Right.
And then be those every day.
Yeah.
Write them down on a post-it. Stick them on your mirror and remind yourself every morning who you are in 4 words. Who are your 4 words? You're sexy. You're smart. Who are your 4 words?
Yeah, mine would be resilient.
You are resilient.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
And resourceful.
That's 4 words.
Yeah.
Write those on the mirror and then the days you don't feel like that, remind yourself I'm these 4 things. I don't know who Meghan is and I don't think she knows.
Yeah. Okay, quick last minute questions. One celebrity you really admire.
I really, really love Elizabeth Taylor because she used her celebrity to help people. She took on causes that were not popular. It would have been very easy for her to not do AIDS, but to do some sort of Red Cross charity. I'm not taking away from Red Cross. It's a wonderful charity, but it'd be very easy. I love celebrities that are smart. And I'm a gay guy. I like beautiful women with great diamonds.
Exactly. I love it. One celebrity who's done it completely wrong.
Meghan Markle's probably the best example. Just everything she touches, she messes up. Meghan, if you're listening, hello, hello, hello. Whatever you think you're doing, do the opposite.
It
ain't working.
Craziest rumor you regret covering or not covering?
Ooh, I found out once that Julia Roberts had a new boyfriend and I didn't do the story. Somebody begged me not to do the story and I didn't do it. And ultimately the story came true.
And was that who she's married to?
I think it was. It was a long time ago.
Because she was cheating. People forget she was the mistress.
He was married?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a sloppy. I love how histories get fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's like Ariana Grande and her boyfriend, they're very fuzzy about when they met Brad and Angelina. Very fuzzy.
Rachel. Well, that's not so fuzzy. I think everybody remembers. Most misunderstood celebrity.
Oh, Britney Spears. I love Britney.
Why can she have no friends? Like, why is
no one around her? I've been around her.
Do you think she's crazy?
I think she has really severe mental health
issues. It's such a shame.
And I think the Britney we see on TikTok and on Instagram is a real true Britney. So don't be surprised by that. Be surprised by how polished we thought she was.
Right.
She never was. She was manufactured.
Wow.
And I'd argue that if Britney wasn't Britney, she'd probably be in a mental institution. Wow. Like, it's just heartbreaking.
Last question for you. What is the most misunderstood thing about you?
Ooh, that I am. Why is it? Because people don't think I'm mean. I think people, this is really truthful. People think I'm really nice. And I'm nice-ish.
You're nice enough.
I'm nice-ish, Rachel. I'm more like, you know, I call myself naughty but nice. I'm more naughty than nice. I have to force myself to be nice.
Got it.
Like, not force, but I have to remind myself. One of my words on my mirror is nice.
Right.
I remind myself, be nice.
Well, you've always been nice to me. I really appreciate it. I love our friendship. I'm so happy you did this. And it's such
Move back to New York. Come back here.
Will you come visit me in Palm Beach?
Done.
Okay, good. We'll be on a beach together and we'll gossip about all the people on the beach. How about that? I love you. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're the best.
Okay.
Oh, you're so good at it, Rachel. An hour flew by.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh, my God, look at that. I felt like it's five fucking minutes. You're the best. What are you doing tomorrow night? Do you have dinner plans?
Tomorrow night, I have dinner at... Sorry, I went over a little.
We're adorable.
We're all set.
Thank you.
Okay. I am going to the Amman Hotel for dinner.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstoodwithRachelYucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast.gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.